You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In the last couple of weeks, the government has revealed their plan to deal with Omicron with decisions such as encouraging people to get their booster shots, updating the mask mandate, and bringing in rapid antigen testing. Today, we have the National Party's COVID-19 response spokesperson, Chris Bishop, on the phone to speak about National's plan to address the Omicron outbreak. Kia ora, Chris. How are you doing? Thank you for speaking with us.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Good, thank you. So you've recently released a 10-point plan to tackle Omicron. Could you quickly outline what that is for us?
Yeah, look, we think we need to upgrade our overall response to Omicron. It presents new challenges that, you know, we're presented by Delta. At the end of the day, most people who get Omicron, it will be quite mild, but it's very infectious, as I think, you know, most people listening will know. And so a lot of people are going to get Omicron. The real key thing is we need to surge the booster program as much as we can, really inundate those rest homes, aged care facilities, because, you know, like with all variants of COVID, it's people who are, you know, more senior in age who, you know, the risk factors are much higher for them. So really go hard on boosters. But also we think we should be doing a lot more in schools in terms of kids' vaccination. So those 5 to 11-year-old age group that's recently become eligible, we should be using pop-up clinics in schools, pop-up vaccination sites. The government doesn't seem too keen on that for reasons I don't fully understand, but I think we should be doing that. And then the other key part of the plan, of course, is much greater use of rapid antigen testing. Now, these tests are less accurate, but they do provide results within 15 to 20 minutes. And the simple reality is that our traditional nasal PCR testing facility, they will be overwhelmed once Omicron really hits the community. And so we're going to need access to rapid antigen tests in pharmacies and supermarkets, making them ubiquitous in the community like they are in many other countries.
Are you concerned about rapid antigen testing providing false positives and giving us a very inaccurate number of case numbers like what happened in Australia?
So the false positive rates are actually very low, but it is definitely true that they are less accurate. Of course, the trade-off with that is speed. So, you know, at the moment, I'm hearing reports of people waiting, you know, 2, 3, sometimes 4 days for the PCR test to come back. That's just, you know, that's just simply too long. You know, if you do PCR tests for everyone who gets Omicron, you'll be, you know, the system just will not be able to cope. And that's kind of happening already, to be honest. And so we are going to have to use rapid tests, and, you know, that's what's happening in other countries as well.
Right. As we learn to live with the virus, so to speak, is it a case of prioritising the economy over public health, like a lot of people have kind of said in the past?
No, definitely not. I just fully reject the idea that, you know, you can put one over the other. Both have got to, you know, work hand in hand. I mean, a good health response is a good economic response. I mean, the more people that get tested, and the more we can make sure that people have good, you know, health facilities at home and can isolate at home and have good access to good support, you know, the sooner they can go back to work and, you know, keep working and providing for their families and, you know, creating employment for other people as well. I just reject the idea that there's sort of some dichotomy between health and the economy. A good health response is a good economic response. And so we just go forward on that basis.
In the plan that you've outlined, you eventually intend to get rid of mandates, so vaccine mandates, mask mandates. What kind of timeline are we looking at?
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting question, and it's not one we have a fixed answer on, but it's something that we're keen on the government exploring further as well. The thing about mandates are, you know, they're very divisive, and, you know, there is a real sense of divide in society between people who are vaccinated and people who are unvaccinated. And the thing about Omicron is it tends to bust through the vaccine. So the Pfizer vaccine is highly effective at preventing transmission with the wild strain of COVID, but also the Delta strain, but it's less effective when it comes to Omicron. So what happens is, even if you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated with 2 doses or even 3 doses with the booster, it's less effective at stopping you from getting COVID. What it is very effective at doing is stopping you from getting sick. So if you've got that booster dose in particular, it's about 80, you know, there's an 80% reduction in hospitalisation, for example. So I don't want anyone to listen to this and think, oh, I won't go and get boosted or won't go and get vaccinated. Mm. It's critical, highly, highly effective at stopping serious illness and death. But it's less effective at the transmission, and one of the reasons the vaccine pass system and the vaccine mandates have been introduced is to essentially stop transmission in places where people who are vaccinated gather, because if you've got lots of people who are vaccinated together, then the chance of transmission is a lot lower. And so the point I'm making is that Omicron calls some of that into question, and that's what's happening in other countries as well. So I don't have a fixed timeline, but I think we are going to have a conversation as a community around how long the mandates last for and how long the vaccine pass system lasts for.
Mm. And booster uptake is currently good in the face of Omicron, but how do you intend to target hard-to-reach communities and more vulnerable groups?
Yeah, so booster uptake is pretty good at the moment. We're starting from a bit of a low base. We started slower than other countries, but it's racing ahead, which is really great, and lots of people going out there and getting boosted, which is wonderful. I think when it comes to getting into hard-to-reach communities, vulnerable communities, you really have to trust the on-the-ground providers. And, unfortunately, there has been a bit of a tendency from government to kind of adopt a one-size-fits-all approach. So working with those Maori health providers, the Pacifica health providers, is really important. The Whanauora Commissioning Agency, for example, has really struggled in dealing with the Ministry of Health and getting access to the data that the ministry holds in terms of vaccination. And they had to take that. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous, but they've had to take the Ministry of Health to court twice through the High Court seeking judicial review. They've won two cases against the government seeking access to data. So government could be a lot more responsive and a lot more receptive to working with groups that are on the ground doing the mahi in some of these communities, and I think that's the real answer.
But people have criticised the National Party's response for being quite reactionary and anti-government, which has kind of led to a perceived inconsistency in the National Party's policies. So, for example, you've argued the government made mistakes in the border control and let Delta into the country, but you also said the borders should have been opened quicker. Do you think that the public can trust the party's Omicron strategy after this?
Well, I'm not sure that's true. I mean, when we were running an elimination strategy back last year, we were keen on the government keeping Delta out of the New Zealand community and as much as they could. In fact, we put forward a range of different ideas to try and help with that. So we've been constructive the whole way through. We talked about saliva testing, for example, which the government's still been very slow on. We've been talking about rapid antigen testing for surveillance purposes for quite a while now. So when we were running an elimination strategy, which we fully supported, trying to keep COVID out of the community, we put forward ideas to do that. Our point was, once Delta became into the community, the government response had to change and adjust as well. And again, we were critical of the slowness to do that. I mean, what became quite clear once Delta entered, this was the first lockdown, the lockdown in August onwards last year, what became clear is that the government didn't have a backup plan for what happened when elimination did fail. So that's why you saw the very quick development of the vaccine pass system. We saw the booster, the vaccine program ramp up very quickly from a slow base. Omicron presents a new challenge as well. So, I think we've been pretty consistent the whole way through. My role I see as being a critic and a conscience of what's happening, putting forward ideas and suggestions. And what tends to happen is we put forward some ideas, the government says that's dumb, and then, a few months later they adopt them. And there's been multiple examples of that happening all the way through the pandemic. And that's a good thing. That's the way our democracy should work.
Great. We'll leave it there for today. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Chris.
No worries. Cheers.
We'll let you go. That was National Party COVID response spokesperson Chris Bishop speaking on the party's plan for Omicron.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.